Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, 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 and good morning. Hi, this is Martina. I'm known as Dr. Cappuccino, and you tuned in to the Dr. Cappuccino Show. And today's topic, I can, I will, and I know I am. The declaration of a God of everything. So if I'm whining this morning and talking about what I don't have, what I wish I had, what I'm going to try to get, then of course, you know what? I'm in error. Human and spiritual error. But this show is not designed to get out there and beat anyone over the head and tell them how bad they were. We're here to tell you, you're great. In all of your words, you're great. You know why? Because you've been endowed and created by the Spirit much bigger than you, one who calls himself the creator of the universe. And I know you want to be on your good side. Hello, 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 hello again. And, of course, you know, we are always welcoming one of our premier guests, Dr. Reverend Colonel William Harris. And he wears lots of hats, and he's a wise man. I was like, you know, I think he's a wise man. Even though at times, you know, people might say, well, you know, when I was raised like this, I don't need to listen to anybody that's wise. You know, I grew up like this and like that, so, hey, I don't need no counsel. We all need counsel. We all need counsel, and we know the world needs counsel because it's in bad shape. But, you know, some feel that they are not the workmanship of all good, no matter how ugly circumstances are. They're just saying, you know, I'm just going to throw in the towel, I'm going to give up. And we see this with the statistics in our country alone, which is suicide rates are up, murder rates are up, premature deaths are up. All kind of manglings going about the streets that are not good, they're up. But we're here to bring you hope. You don't need us to tell you what's going on wrong. We need to offer solutions. So right now is your opportunity to step out of the shadows of life and start wondering, why haven't I done this sooner? Who have I listened to? What circumstances have held me back? Well, you're not going to have an excuse this morning, and I can guarantee that. Colonel Harrison, are you with us this morning?
Yes, Dr. Cappuccino and listening audience, by the grace of Almighty, I'm with you. Good morning, and thank you for the invitation again.
Well, you got that invitation because the world is still spinning on its axis, and we know that nothing is going to help out with situation. Be it personal, be it circumstantial, be it maybe something that stems from our workload, maybe some severe family problems. Nothing is going to get us out of a bad fix, but good wisdom and counsel that is going to help move the soul, spirit, and man to action. Now, some people are saying, you know, I've been going to church, you know, I've been going into these men's, women's organizations, I've been running around to these fraternities, sororities. I've been doing everything I can to find a real meaning to life. And I haven't done that. I've looked high, I've looked low, I've looked everywhere. I've been married more than one time or something like that. They're saying everything, but they still haven't gotten to essence and gotten to the meaning of life. Why do you think that's so? What is the missing piece, Colonel Harrison? Hello? Colonel, are you still there?
Yes, yes, Doc. I'm sorry. Please restate your question.
You know, people are saying that, you know, they've been asking for help and support and counsel for life's challenges. They've looked high and low and nothing. They've not been able to get the advice they need to want to live a decent life because some of them say, I don't even know why I'm here. I don't know why I'm born. What is your take on that? What counsel would you give a person making those statements?
Dr. Cappuccino and listening audience, everyone needs to be open to counsel from someone. We learn from listening to others. There are people who are endowed by the Almighty to have wisdom. And wisdom is knowledge of things that happen sometime before time, knowledge of things that are happening present day. There are people that have wisdom that are placed in our path to counsel us and give us good, wholesome advice. If you want to accept the word wholesome, if you don't want to accept the word wholesome, to give us good spiritual advice as to what to do, what not to do, that will help make the quality of our lives better. Counsel is very, very, very important. When I started my career, 50-some-odd years ago in the law enforcement profession, I had to sit in the academy under counsel for 6 months so that I could be proficient once I graduated from the academy to come out and provide services, legal quality service and protective services to the citizens of the District of Columbia. We all need counsel. I'm reminded of the Bible, because you know I'm also a minister. Let those that have ears hear, and let those that have eyes see. We got to hear, we got to listen, and we got to apply when someone gives us wise counsel for our betterment. We can't depend on certain elected officials. We got to get back to the grassroots, neighbor to neighbor, being our brother's keeper, being our sister's keeper, uplifting, counseling, helping each other, and so forth and so on. I'll pause.
Yeah, that sounds just wonderful, and it's something that I know many have tried, tested, and tried again. But now that the world is in such chaos, how do you identify someone that you'd go and sit and tell your troubles to? With the world being in the chaos that it is, and the people that have been ordained to give good counsel to the physical man as well as the spiritual man, these people are disappearing. Many of them are caught in scandal. How do you know who to go to? Let's say you get up in the morning and you say, I don't want to live anymore. I'm going to kill myself. Who would you at that very moment pick up the phone and call to perhaps get one last word of wisdom with everybody that you can think of, from the great to the lowest? Everybody is failing. So who are these counselors? Where are they? You're right. Where are the counselors? How do you identify a counselor to go to and tell your troubles to? Even the Holy Scripture, and you did mention that, says that even two cannot walk together unless they agree. Where are these people at? And how do you find them?
With regards to the emergency, if one gets up and decides they want to end their life, but they want to reach out and call someone, they should call the emergency medical services for assistance immediately. That's a medical emergency, a life and death situation. And so emergency medical technician, police, and so forth respond with an emergency assistant. But in regards to finding and identifying these counselors, they are among us in every community, in every neighborhood. You just have to watch them, observe them. Let those that have eyes see. Observe people in your community that carry themselves in a certain way, seem to live a certain wholesome lifestyle, seem to be at peace with themselves. That person has been counseled by somebody that has brought peace to them, and as a result, they're living a good quality of life. Those are the people we have to identify. We don't need to associate ourselves with hellions out here raising hell up and down and not doing anything meaningful in life, drunk out all the time. That's not the type of counselor role model you want to seek. You want to seek people in your community, and they're in every community. You just have to.
Well, it looks like we've lost the colonel, and he was in a verbal battle. But you know what? I'm going to say until he calls back in that while all that's good, if a person's on their deathbed, or if they're on a way to purchasing a gun to kill themselves, or if they're sad and as my dad used to say, busted and disgusted, they're not going to have time to get out there and seek and look and see. They've already done that. By the time they made up their mind, they're going to kill themselves. They've already reached out, at least 50% or more, they've already reached out. And then with the world being in the shape that it's in, you don't know who's walking up and down the street. If you're going to look out and observe them, you don't know if you're looking at a drag queen or a female. You don't know if you're looking at someone from another orientation or male. You don't know that. How would you know that? So if a person is sitting in the living room at 9 o'clock on a Sunday saying, I'm going to kill myself, they're not going to get up and run out there and try to look and see and see and look and see who is doing something good. I'm sorry, I'm going to have to step over that, because by the time they reach that point, the majority, and it says it on the suicide prevention website, it says that they've already exhausted the means that they said. And then once you identify these people, most of these people need someone to sit, talk, hold their hand, find out what the needs are. I mean, this is a big thing. So I know if I'm getting ready to blow my brains out, I'm not going around trying to look around, take 2-3 days to see who's living good, take two, three more days a week to find out if they're setting a good example. Hey, I'm busted. I'm sad, I'm busted, and I'm disgusted. I don't have to. I've already done that. If I'm 20, 30, 40, chances are I've lived long enough to know what these people look like, what they smell like, how they stand, how they hold their head. So, hey, I'm past that. I'm past that. I'm in some wholesale communicable misery, and I need some help now, or within the next 5 minutes, bam, boom, I'm going to blow my brains out. So I'm going to put this thing back into the hands and the heart of the community. I'm thinking that the way to go would be to build community, but you've got to be out there in the community to assess the needs of the community and then start chanting about, oh, I'm going to help build the community. You're not going to do anything because you're not out there in the midst of the community. You know, there was the holy man. He walked around with 12 every day, one known feet. He walked around with them. He slept with them. He ate with them. He was out there. They followed him through the marketplaces. Now, I'm getting into something real heavy, and I'm not what you call, you know, like a minister, but I think I know enough to be qualified to say he lived and he wept. So with that being said, these people, that's the way you're going to see an example. You got to be out there with them. You got to be out there with them. And I know I told the story before, and I hope Colonel will jump back on the line. I think we lost him earlier, but I think I told the story of that I was in my house getting ready to commit suicide. I was in a little apartment, 6329 10th Avenue in Los Angeles. I forgot the apartment number. And the only thing that saved me, I heard a knock on the door. I had all the pills ready, and I took my little baby upstairs, and soon as I got into bed with all the pills my hand could hold, and I was ready to take them with bottles of water, I was out of here. Bam, 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 bam. It was so loud, the whole place shook. So I knew it was ordained by God not to actually do it, and I jumped up, and the pills went one way, I went one way, and I ran to the door. Here are these two men standing, and I never forget their question. How would you like to learn? No, hello, madam. How would you like to learn how to live in paradise on earth? I mean, they didn't give me a chance to talk, and when I heard that, and I'm getting ready to kill myself, and I just broke down. And when I broke down holding the door sill, I heard him say, run, get March. And the shorter one ran off, and he was just standing there. He had grabbed my hand. He didn't come in that door. He didn't come past that threshold. They weren't going to be seen doing that, not no one man by himself. And he held me on, and he just started howling and praying. Oh, Jehovah, you let us through the door. Oh, this young lady, He was saying that, I guess, long enough to get that woman back. And then I guess they must have heard him praying. And then women, big women, came and bust that door open, and they had grabbed me around my waist, still walking, trying to lead me to that couch. And then they started praying. They'd rubbing all on me. Oh, Jehovah, in the name of Jesus. Oh, here we are. Here we are. So what I'm saying is that I don't know how a sick person getting ready to kill himself is going to get off of his would-be killing bed and go prowling up and down the street trying to look for help. I look for help. I did everything I could with the neighbors, and I saw they went worse shape than I was. So if the colonel telling you back on the line, we had lost you, so I took on talking. Are you back on the line?
Yes, I'm back on the line, dog.
Good. So the real rescuers is out there on the street. And so now if anybody want to observe them, there's a certain way they dress, there's a certain way they look. You don't see them without a tie and shirt, and they're not standing around talking loud and looking crazy. They are out there to do the Father's business. So what is the Father's business? He said it's not his desire that none perish, but all be led. Through the gospel teaching, be led to a life of wholesomeness under his authority. most people don't want to be under anyone's authority, certainly a God, because the God that someone might think about is very restrictive. It is true, you can't do this, you can't go there, you can't do this, similar to a husband. You know, the God we know is very restrictive, but to turn this back on the line. Now, we're talking about these people, and I think we always come to a little bit of an impasse on it, because it should be some kind of a community net. The church in this day, 100 years ago, longer than that, was responsible to gathering of the people, not only under the auspice of a worship, but to inform the people what's going on. Blacks that were literate had nowhere to go but to a church gathering. That's what they called them, a gathering of worship. You don't hear that anymore. And they would go there to see who was getting married, who died, who was going to be buried, we need help. And you got the teaching of an unknown, unseen God. By faith, they worship. By faith, they believe. By faith, they put their hand in an invisible hand. It's not there, but by faith. So right now, the ones that were reportedly put in charge to do that have been siphoned off by sin, and we've had this conversation before, by sin, hatefulness, ugliness, hidden prejudices, things they haven't got out of there. Colonel Harrison, how can a person exist with an unstable mind in an environment like this? You look out your window, there's chaos. I'm not going out there and grabbing nobody and saying I'm getting ready to kill myself. What is your take on that?
Other than the those who, as I mentioned earlier, that is about to commit suicide, usually there are signs a person is in trouble if they have suicide tendencies. We know before they get to that point. So prayerfully, they would have enough gumption to seek assistance before they get to that desperate point. But those. The community is a support mechanism for people that need help. Yes, there's chaos, but there's usually someone or some ones in the community that is willing to help their neighbors. It's so important that we get to know who our neighbors are. No man, woman, or child is an island. We're all a community people, we're all communion people, and we were created to depend and help one another. So we have to tap into whoever that person is within your community. That person may be within your household if you're not single living alone. Tap into someone that can help uplift you, help encourage you, help show you the way. We can't depend on the outer world. Our world, as you said, is a mass chaos. We have to take back responsibility one person at a time, one family at a time, one household at a time, one community at a time, and tap in the people within the community that there's at least one that is willing to help others who need help and are in trouble.
Yeah, that sounds like a good idea, but I know if you go to the Suicide Association's website, one of the signs of someone on the way to Suicide Valley is that they become withdrawn. So a person that meets that description, that's becoming withdrawn, they're not going to get out of there and try to tap in. I don't know what the word means, tap in. How do you tap into another person? I don't know. I don't know how you do it. I know that probably, and we talked about this last week, that probably that statement, that wording, needs to be broken down a little more, because when I was getting ready to end in my life, I was walking around with a smiling face. I had about a three-month-old baby, and I wasn't thinking about tapping in. And I was thinking, even though I really wasn't scriptural, you know, I had a dad there that was trying to become a minister. So I didn't think about tapping in. I'd already been tapped out. That's why I was laying there in that bed getting ready to kill myself. I became withdrawn. So that's one of the signs there. So the only way that I was rescued, it was the door-to-door matter. And I tried to tell that every step of the way that when I get a chance, I tell that story. It didn't depend on me in that degraded state of mind to try to reach out to them for what? I didn't know if they were in the baddest shape that I was. And the only thing that took me over the bridge was the spiritual teaching that said that, you know what, if I learn more about God, I'm going to be okay. That was it in an essence. And I believed that, and I believed those prayers. I slid on the floor. One woman fell on top of me still praying. I mean, you talk about people in action. They weren't a joke then. I don't know what they're doing now. But that was a lease on life, and they promised to come back the next day. They came back with food. Then every week they were there talking about a Bible study. They was calling me every day. So I didn't have to do anything. All I knew was that I was good. God knew I was God that was going to kill myself, and the provisions were there. The ones that supposedly were to be in charge, they took charge, and they made sure I was called if I needed anything. They bought me a women's hygiene basket. I could tell they did something. You know, they made it, you know, on their own. I don't know what state I was in, but they bought that back 2 days later, and they were sitting in that little kitchen talking about in a blue book, you know, the truth shall set you free, and I went through that book. So I didn't have to do anything. How can a crazy person say, oh, well, let me get out here and see who I'm going to get? And this is a bone of contention amongst people that are working with potential suicide victims. They say we just can't get to them all. So that means they weren't thinking that they should try to get out of their own state and climb out of your own cave and climb out of your own hole. You're already in that. Somehow you made it there in the midst of everybody watching you get yourself in the hole. So obviously by the time you get there, you've already exhausted means. But again, I walked around, and I hope I'm helping someone this morning, with a smiling face. Oh, I was gorgeous and all that. It didn't mean nothing. I was a size 5. It didn't mean nothing. It didn't mean anything because in my mind I was warped. I needed something else. I needed someone to tell me that God really cares, whatever this thing is that caused me to become. Where is it, and what can you tell me? And it was two or three churches all around there in that area, but I wasn't compelled to walk in there and sit down. Why, I don't know. But it was them people that came knocking on the door. Now, nobody's doing that now around town but them, you know, the Mormon Latter-day Saints, you know, I'm seeing them on bicycles carrying Bibles with white shirts and black pants. They're going all through the community too. So I don't feel too comfortable. If I'm on Death Valley, I got to walk around begging for help, seeking out help. I've already been there, done that. So outside of that channel, what can you say, Colonel Harrison, about those that want to be counselors? They actually want to take some kind of good news. A person that's hearing good news is not going to kill themselves. There's some hope there. Good news. Good news is what's going to hold them into a world if they don't know if they want to remain in the world. Good news. Where are these people at that are supposed to be walking around with good news, not letting other people do their job while they stand around and talk? Talk to us about that. Have we missed something in our creed as a community to help people dying right next door in the community? What have we missed? We've missed something. What have we missed?
This is not for the people. This statement is not for the people that's in trouble. This is for those who want to become counselors to try and identify those within their communities, their neighborhood that may be in trouble. Most community-based churches still have outreach centers. It doesn't matter what size, whether small, medium, or large. And there's someone within that church or someone that have the knowledge, the skill, and ability of counseling. And so I would encourage any potential person who wants to be helpful or become a counselor to help those in their communities and beyond their community, you go to some of the community-based churches, and they can receive the instructions and the teachings or whatever, so they can help identify people in their community and be a resource to help save those before they get to the threshold of wanting to commit suicide. So most community-based churches have it. There was a time when city governments used to have it. The city governments are fragmented now because of the budget, because of lack of commitment, dedication. But the community-based church still has counselors. I would encourage them to reach out to community-based churches without regard to the denomination of their communities.
Yeah, they're not going to do that. Suicide rate, even yesterday, they're saying that black girls, the suicide rate with the black young girls has skyrocketed. In fact, we're going to make a report on that Monday in a little bulletin that we send out. These people are not doing it. Here on the West Coast, churches are closed until they have like a Wednesday night Bible class, and some don't even have that. They got a Wednesday at 1 p.m. because they said the streets is too bad. They don't want the women out after dark. Oh, well, go back to the days of Jerusalem, women in your high-heel shoes. You know, going in there, getting your hair done and all that. Ain't making a splash nowhere. They ain't got one soul. I asked one person this week. They were talking about, oh, my goodness, my children. I said, have you brought one soul in there? When is the last time you made a disciple? I said, where's the sheep? You got a sheep count? Oh, I just tore them up. And it was another person that laughed and said, you never should have dealt with her because she's going to eat that up. She's going to eat it. She's going to put it in her mouth, chew it up, and I'm going to swallow it. And I actually did. On all counts, he couldn't say a word. So the whole point is, again, if the churches are closed, and we're on church because you went there, we mentioned that. If the churches are closed Monday through Monday, they only open up on Sunday. You're not going to sit up in there and tell nobody your problem on Sunday. They're going to tell you, I'll give you a call, give me your number. Let me get my deacon over here. They're not going to do it. That's not what Christ did. He had 12 there just to help take up the slack. And that's it. And that really was someone who set the actual model. So these people are not going to get off their suicide valley bed and get dressed up and go somewhere sitting around with a sheepish look on your face trying to get some counsel. That takes time. If a person's getting ready to kill themselves, bam, you got to catch them right at that time. And then you got nurturing come. Most of the churches that are even in existence, they ain't got time for that. They aren't going to do that. They're not equipped to do that, not in 2019. So now we had an impasse with those that were given the pledge to do what they were supposed to do. And of course now it's like my dad used to say, it's getting late in the evening. Well, it done got late. We see that because in here in LA you can read that there's a book on about 50 churches all within Western and Main Street, and someone wrote a book, a pictorial book, every three doors there was a church, a different church. Everything is shut down here. Everything is shut down. Everything is shut down with bars on there. You can't wake up on the Tuesday and say, I'm going to step in front of a speeding train. And, well, let me stop first. Let me go over here and see if I can get some counsel. Well, what are they going to say? If they're not going to take you into their home, what are they going to say? If they're not going to pay for psychiatric medical, what are they going to say? What are they going to say? What kind of counsel? What are they going to say? What are they going to say? So we're still at an impasse, and I know you have an organization called the International Platform for Peace, which you head up along with your book, The Answer to Civil Unrest. Here, the LAPD has a whole website that talks about civil unrest and where people can go in there and get some tips, tell them what to do, because they're saying, oh, I know we need some help. So while we're talking, there's thousands that have already killed themselves. And we're going to keep talking about this until we get a call in, until someone sends Colonel an email, their email address with some kind of advice, because we're here and we're talking. But again, if we're going back to biblical standard of going out to reach, he said, go into the highways, go into. Right now, I'm telling you, things are closed down because they aren't doing it. They're just not going to do it. Whatever excuse they have, he said, by this you will know my people, if they have love amongst themselves. Need groups standing around talking about, oh, yeah, I love Christ and all that. No, you got to love your brother first. How you show that, you're going to get out and help him. Colonel Harrison, thank you so much for being with us. You know, I want you to have a forum next Saturday if you can, because we're going to talk about the early roots of civil unrest and the problem that has bred with suicide escalations now in our country. Thank you so much, Colonel Harrison. We couldn't do it without you. Thank you. You've listened to Dr. Marcia and Nance Cappuccino on the Dr. Cappuccino Show. See you next week, Saturday, same time. Have a great weekend.